Hey, buddy.
Morning.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Doing well. You?
You know what? I've been better, but this may come with some tears in the eyes, but hopefully I am better because of what I'm going to be sharing. You know, yeah. But I'm certainly, as I hate to quote Dave Ramsey, but I'm certainly better than I deserve to be.
Are you not a fan of Dave Ramsey?
I'm a great fan, and I've said that forever. But now it sounds like I quote him, and I'm going, "Oh man, nobody likes hearing these stealing phrases." So I try not to go there. But I've always felt better than I deserve, and I do love that. That's it. I'm a big fan. Matter of fact, taking back over the finances, you will see envelopes and budgets and everything else put back in place where they ought to be, and trying to dig out of a hole here. So,
I'm so sorry.
oh, you know what? I truly,
Yeah, I'm not expecting you to respond to that. I'm just saying I'm sorry.
I but I and I appreciate that, but I'm truly speaking from my heart this morning on. There's nothing I'm going to say that I don't own. I want you to know that, because there's always, all of us preach and teach at times from things that we know, but maybe are, and I'm still working to fully own it, but I'm going with my life verse today. And the fact that I need to flesh out what I say is my life verse. Now it needs to, I need to own it for real. And you know what, Mark? It's kind of, this isn't part of the deal, but I've gotten this picture of athletes. So when I played tennis, and I went to college to play tennis. I mean, that was my thing in South Florida, was to be a tennis player.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I was big tennis was my thing. And one of the truths in tennis, which may be other sports, you play to the level of your competition. If I played somebody really, really good, I had a decent chance to beat them and do really, really well. If I played somebody bad, every now and then I'd get stumbled up because I just kind of let myself get drugged to their level. I think in the kingdom, that as much as we say, I don't want to face this challenge, and you and I both, with Wendy and Jennifer to an extent at times, nothing. And don't hear me say I ever wanted to or am glad I did necessarily, but the opportunity to rise to the challenge of really having to live out our faith is, I don't like it, but I don't hate it. You know what I mean? There's just something in there that says, hey, this is that time. And thank you for counting me worthy to play first position in this match or second position in this match. That guy's pretty good. You sure you don't want to drag, Marco up here to play him? Yeah, and that's probably hard to understand, especially maybe for folks who haven't been anywhere, I don't want to say anywhere near there, like,
Well, like I said multiple times going through what I went through, I was like, sometimes I just wish God didn't think as highly of me as apparently he does.
that's a good one. Hey, how's everybody this morning?
Yeah,
Skip, good meeting the other day, Skip.
thank you. Yeah.
I think that's exciting. I know she's excited. Y'all, Skip is a grant writer, and we met with Miss Sloan about getting some real help. Most of you have seen the documentary, getting her some real help down there with her school and her kids, and gosh, they need it. And he's very gifted, and he and his partner have been very successful in making things happen in that arena. So we're hoping. Be praying.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So we're looking. We're just looking forward to see what God's up to there. Good morning, Sherry. I said that in such a way that all my devices didn't respond, like I was talking to Siri.
Good morning.
Was telling Mark, y'all bear with me this morning. It's just this one touches close, so I don't want to stumble up things in here, but I'm glad you're on. Clifford, are you with us this morning? I'm not sure who that is there. Andrew, good to see you.
Good to be back, Kevin.
Our brother Clifford is not a secret. He told his people, but he's facing a battle. He got a report on cancer that he's going to be starting treatments and all. So remember, he shares with us. Be praying for him. He's a powerful, much-needed brother and a force for the kingdom here in East Alabama. So we need, not that we don't, there's anybody we don't need, but we want to be praying for him. So. Well, good morning, and welcome to the Be the Edge Challenge call today. I'm Kevin Flanagan, the president of the Edge, and I'm grateful you've taken some time to join us this morning. Today, I'm going to share from my heart and from my personal journey at this exact time. My life, first off, always said is Romans 8:28. When I discovered in my journey, what I've discovered in my journey is that it's easy to say that, but it's a lot tougher at times to live as though I believe it's always true. The first two words in that verse are all things. I get that. You know, I can see all things in my head. I can tell you all things. There is no but, just for, except for, but only when. It says all things, and it means all things. It's a pure and a simple all things. To make it anything other than that does a tremendous disservice to God's word, to his truth, to his reality, but it also does to us. See, if we think life would be easier if we could justify or pull a few circumstances that we just don't like out of the whole all things category, well, we're deceived and we're in a dangerous place. See, that just cheapens God and his reality and his truth in our story. All things work together. So Paul says, All things work together. Maybe not this one piece by itself. Pull it out of the picture to stand alone. You know, this one issue, this one situation. But you put it in the all things of God working, and it works together for God's kingdom. Let me explain. My wife, Jennifer, when she battled cancer, used to talk about Edith Schaefer's book, Tapestry. She loved Schaefer. She loved her works. She loved her book, Christianity is Jewish, which, by the way, you may want to grab it. It gives you a great appreciation for our deep roots in Judaism. In Tapestry, though, Edith Schaefer talks about how God is weaving this beautiful tapestry. Jennifer was an artist, and she loved art. She loved examples of God the artist. The picture that God was weaving in the tapestry is a beautiful, it's a gorgeous picture that will be complete at the end of time, and it'll be breathtaking at the least. Now, though, we just see these dangling threads underneath. We're looking from below, so we don't see the beautiful tapestry that he's weaving together. We have to take with faith what God is up to. All things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. In my life, that truth has been played out time and time and time again. There's nothing like age to give you the long view, right? Our God is a God of redemption. He redeems. He loves to reconcile and redeem. Listen, for the next minute or two, you're going to get tired of those R words, but hang with me. We live for him to take our lives and redeem the things that were not part of his original plan. So we know sin is not good, right? However, in his sovereignty, he takes the results and redeems them and helps it to all work together for the good, his good, the kingdom's good. R.C. Sproul went so far as to say, all things work together for the good. Then it's not a far leap to say all things ultimately are good. Well, listen, I can't quite go there, but I want to tell you the mental work to get there can be at least very instructive. Try that. I'm watching God in faith work out situations and circumstances that seem dark at the least, and quite frankly, without Jesus, would seem hopeless. And I'm watching knowing that there is a redeeming God who will take whatever doesn't look redeemable and redeem it for his glory. There's always a desire to blame someone for things that go on in our story that hurt and are painful. Whether it's cancer, bankruptcy, marriage issues, or something else, we always look for someone to blame. It's natural. I love the story in John 9, where in trying to understand sin and guilt, Jesus' disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened. So that the work of God might be displayed in his life. What's God allowing in your story that a watching world sees not only what happens, but how you handle it? Are you walking through it like you know a reconciling, redemptive, all-knowing, all-loving God has you firmly in his grasp as he writes the rest of your story? Hey, Don't worry about who's at fault. God takes and redeems what the world would destroy. Hear that again. God takes and redeems what the world would destroy. He allows things that will show a hurting, watching world how he redeems and restores. We will point to him and they will recognize him as the author and perfecter of his creation. See, I don't know what challenge you face today at home or at work, but I know this. Here they are, last time. We serve a reconciling, redeeming, and restoring God. It's time to watch and trust him to be exactly who he is. Hey, thank you for being a part of today's call. Now, go be the edge, and I would ask at the same time, pray for us as you do that. So, thank you.